This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A federal bill to protect the pensions and health care benefits of thousands of retired miners is one step closer to becoming law. Ashton Mara reports both West Virginia senators are urging its passage by the end of the year.
The Miners Protection Act passed out of the U.S. Senate Finance Committee on an 18-8 vote Wednesday. Senator Joe Manchin introduced the bill last summer to help shore up what he calls a promise made to coal miners and their families in 1946. The bill would take money from a federal fund to clean up abandoned mine sites and transfer it to a fund that helps pay for the pensions and health care benefits of retired miners and their families. That fund has taken a hit with the decline of the coal industry. Without additional funding, Senator Shelley Moore Capito says 23,000 retired miners could lose their benefits by July.
We know this is the first step, but it's a very significant first step to getting it out of committee in a bipartisan way.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky has not said whether he'll bring the bill to a vote in the full chamber, but Capito believes it will be taken up by the end of the year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara.
Donald Trump is scheduled to speak to a fracking industry conference in Pittsburgh today, but one of his top advisors warmed up the conference yesterday with dire predictions on what a Clinton presidency would mean for the energy sector. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports fracking billionaire Harold Hamm said Donald Trump was the right choice for the oil and gas industry.
Harold Hamm is CEO of Continental Resources, one of the largest fracking firms in oil-rich North Dakota. The company has flourished over the past 8 years, as domestic oil production has nearly doubled during the fracking boom. That boom lowered the price of natural gas, which has in turn hurt the coal industry. But Hamm said it's regulations from the Obama administration which have led to coal's demise. He warned the crowd that Hillary Clinton would do the same to oil and gas if she gets elected.
We don't want to wait with oil and gas until we're out of business to try to fight back. It's too late then. You got to get ahead of it. So we have to step up front now.
He also warned that a Democrat in the Oval Office could mean a Supreme Court that favors more regulation, which would hurt the industry. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
It's been about 15 years since the opioid epidemic first hit Appalachia, and now there's a whole generation of teenagers in West Virginia and Kentucky who have grown up with drug addiction strongly affecting their friends and families. Carrie Mullins is a novelist from Eastern Kentucky. She returned from college to find that her community had been devastated by the opioid crisis. So she decided to write a coming-of-age novel based on the frightening realities facing young Appalachians. Her debut novel is called Night Garden, and the protagonist is a 17-year-old girl named Marie. Roxy Todd spoke with Mullins about the book.
Look, maybe one of the first times it seems that Marie's experiencing drugs.
Sure, I'll set it up a little bit and then start reading. Marie's gone to Miss Anglin's house, and they've actually done some drugs. They did a couple lines of OxyContin. The party by the fire and the car were moving toward each other across time and space. They would meet, and everyone would be together, and Marie would be there, too. Everything made Marie laugh. Miss Anglin's car window that wouldn't roll down. The whiny man on the CD player singing and playing guitar. And finally, the car and the party did meet in space and time, and the car stopped. Marie felt herself glide out of the car and around the mud pit and down the road to the party. Marie wanted to talk to everyone there. She had something to say, even to people she'd never seen before. Marie felt taller, and she liked the way she felt when she walked, like her joints were jangling, like she was tall and limber, moving easy over the ground. Everything was happening for a reason, and she knew what that reason was, even if she couldn't say it out loud. Marie ran into Miss Anglin, and she was saying to no one, "How did we come to be here?" She was saying it over and over again, not talking to Marie or anyone else, asking God, it seemed like, with her palms up, cigarette burning in one hand, head cocked to one side. "Man, that's all I want to know. I want to know how we came to be here."
It is such a roller coaster of a book. I enjoyed it. I think it's really important for us to kind of put ourselves in the shoes of people, because there's all kinds of ways that people get addicted and fall into lives of chaos and despair. But, you know, empathy in some ways is probably one of the things that we can do better and better. And your book does a really great job, I think, of helping bring someone's life into a sort of, we become more aware of what it really is like to go through this girl's shoes. So I thank you for that. I think it's really important. What brought you to want to do this book as a coming of age book right now?
Well, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, and I thank you for those comments, because that's exactly what I was trying to do. I really, in a way, wanted to, it's a fictional book, of course, but in a way I wanted to make a record of what's going on in my area and with the people that I love in my area.
Do you have children?
I do, yeah. I got two girls. I got one that just turned 14 and one who will be 10 next week.
In writing this, Marie's 17, were you thinking as you were writing Marie, like, what if this happened to my daughter, what would I do? Or were you wondering as a parent what you would do in a situation like this?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's been so widespread, and it, you know, and you look at people in your county and you know people that you've grown up with who've succumbed. You know, I know a lot of people who've passed away. Yeah, it's something I think about every day. And it's, I mean, you could do, I know people, parents and brothers and sisters of people who've been addicted. It's super hard to pinpoint when it starts or why it starts. So it's something you have to be, I think you do as a parent, you think about it all that I do all the time.
And have you, when you were 17, what was it like for you during that time? Did you ever face any kind of alcohol or drug interactions or addictions that kind of came up as you were writing this book?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know how much I want to get into this. I don't want my kids to hear this quite yet. But, yeah, I think everybody at 17, and that's the thing, too, is that your brain isn't really fully formed at that age. You know, you don't always have the best judgment. And one step, one thing you do when you're that age could influence and impact your whole life. And that's what I think about with Marie. She made a couple not so great decisions, and the outcome is going to be with her forever. And it's the weird thing about being 17 is because you're old enough to do these things and have a little more freedom. But you don't always realize the impact that your decisions are going to have on the rest of your life.
That was Kentucky novelist Carrie Mullins speaking with Roxy Todd. Mullins' new novel is called Night Garden. You can listen to a longer version of this conversation on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, becoming sunny today with highs in the 80s. Clear tonight, lows in the 50s. Sunshine tomorrow with highs in the 80s and low 90s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. This morning, West Virginia's Poet Laureate Mark Harshman has another installment of the Poetry Break. We broadcast them monthly, and today, Harshman brings us verses from the Appalachian poet Richard Haig.
Welcome to the Poetry Break. where today we'll be listening to the amazing poetry of Richard Haeg. Richard was raised in that northern outpost of Appalachia, Steubenville, Ohio, and has lived his adult life in another Appalachian city of Ohio, Cincinnati. The author of over 8 books of poetry and numerous chapbooks, his collected volume, During the Recent Extinctions, won the prestigious Weatherford Award as the finest book of poetry published in Appalachia in 2013. Dick is the kind of poet I find it easy to admire. He simply gets it done, going about his work as a masterful high school English teacher for decades while quietly turning out wonderful poems day after day, year after year. Much as I'd like to claim it, Haeg is, for my money, the truest heir of James Wright I know. Haeg is unafraid to tackle the bane of life in Appalachia, the deleterious effects of extractive industries upon our region and our world. Measuring the energy. Even at midnight on Tuesdays, these places drain power from the world, sending up waste light into the starless sky so that no one discovers wonder. Thousands of tons of Eastern Kentucky coal burn for the neon. Lingerie outlets glow like nebulae. Shoe stores shout radiation like pulsars. Off the Resources Recovery Highway in the Appalachians, the Mickey D's and fish and chips replace gob with litter and choke 100 hollers. Meanwhile, deep in the rainforest, another species of bird is rubbed out. Just over the smoky horizon, from where its body begins to decay, a motorcade of Humvees and D-10s approaches, French fries and diesel fumes perfuming the air before it. How he weds the local and global in a poem like this is simply brilliant. It's not easy to write about things that are newsworthy, current, political, without getting on a rant or a high horse. Here, a shorter narrative, again anchored rock solid in a gone time and place, and yet somehow Haeg makes them come alive. Carried up. Oh, Father, it is Steubenville, 1950, snow falling steadily, and in our rugged town, your slick-tired Model A fails our neighborhood hill. You swing me easily to your shoulders and carry me, as St. Christopher bore his burden, up the slippery switchbacks home. I still remember, along that hovering, icy way, the gait of you beneath me, solid, step after step, advancing and ascending, a psalm of upwardness, and the silent plume of your breath as we rose, trailing behind us like an angel or your soul out for an Advent airing, as if all the best of you were turned inside out, immaculately expansive, sweet as a carol in that happy, silent night. Today's poems are from Richard Haeg's book During the Recent Extinctions, New and Selected Poems, 1984 to 2012, published by Dos Madres Press and winner of the Weatherford Award from the Appalachian Studies Association. This has been the Poetry Break. I'm Mark Harshman, wishing you good words on the page and in the air.
Again, Mark Harshman reading the poems of Richard Haeg. You can hear the full version of this month's Poetry Break online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.